The glory of the Lord is available to every person. Amen. Jesus the Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, as always, what a privilege to know you, to belong, to be yours. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Savior. I ask that you reveal yourself to us, to those listening, to that one. If they're not saved, save them. If they, whatever they need, you can meet the need. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Give them the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whatever they need and desire, Lord, you can meet their needs. Amen. Amen. You say that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. So I agree with them. Anyone who wants to agree with me, I agree with them right now for their needs. And there's no distance in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. The answer to life is knowing the only true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the chief end of man, and the deepest, the final result, the deepest reality is fellowship with Him. Fellowship with Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior and infinitely more. And He is God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, God Almighty. But the glory of the Lord is He's so beautiful and wonderful, we cannot put Him into words, and words cannot express the gospel, Him. Words cannot express the Lord God Almighty. And all that He is, and all that He offered, all that He does, His ways, the things He has made, the things that He does in the spirit realm, which is the most important. And and everything contained within knowing Him, contained within the gospel. The gospel means good news of Jesus Christ. There's the good news, but then there's the other side. Jesus spoke about that specifically in many places. But in John chapter 3, after the most famous verse, He gave the other side. He said, "He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in Jesus Christ." Well, as mentioned yesterday, it is interesting. We're like sheep. We need to hear things a lot. We need to get it into our spirit person. That's a practical thing that I want to just touch on for a second. And I need to hear this. We ourselves, even in our personal walk with Him and in ministry, we need to confess His truth and His word and confess these wonderful things to get it into our spirit person. Reinhard Bonnke spoke about that once. His ministry had a great need. He said he was confessing the name of Jesus, confessing the word of God, believing, you know, there's something powerful about that. And you know, when Jesus said we're like sheep, I mean, we can learn from sheep. We can learn just as Jesus did so often, use the natural world to reveal spiritual truth. But it's this, so, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And it's important to say it. Why is that important? God speaks. Amen. Jesus speaks. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." But just, oh, I want to focus on the glory of the Lord. Oh, there's just, that's the key. That's the answer. You know, even with what I just mentioned about confessing, sometimes we get kind of, we miss it because maybe we're trying to work up something. That's not right. This is another thing. I mean, now it's something kind of different. Waiting on the Lord. And when we meet Him in His glory, everything makes sense. I mean, that's the answer, really, if you really get down to it. Just as I mentioned near the beginning of this message, the answer is knowing Him and fellowship with Him. What an incredible offer God has made to every person. Offering to fellowship with us. Literally forever. So we begin to see this gospel, it's more than good news. It's the most incredible, beyond comprehension, offer and news to mankind. He's so glorious, so wonderful and magnificent, and He's God Almighty. He made the universe. He made mankind into His image. He's merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in goodness, abounding in truth. It goes on and on. Like, and so someone may say, okay, well, what is God like? Okay, the glory of the Lord is the Lord Himself. The glorious splendor of His majesty. And it's so important for us to understand. Our spirit person has the glory of the Lord, and His glory is everywhere on the earth. When our old nature dies, then we can, it's almost like we could practically say our spirit person connects with the glory of the Lord, which is everywhere on the earth. Just as the sunlight and air are everywhere on the earth and keep every person alive, really. If you look at these incredible scriptures and truths, it's not just the scripture and the Bible, it's the truth that's in there. In Job and in Isaiah, it says the life of every living thing is in God's hand. I mean, basically the summary is God holds the universe together and everything on the earth. He holds everything together by the greatness of His power and might. And He gives life to every living thing. The life of every living thing is in His hand. If He withdrew His hand for 1 second, we would all die. This is beyond our comprehension. Just like God Himself, He's beyond our comprehension. His glory beyond our comprehension. His majesty. That's what we were made to do, is know Him in that way. Not in anything religious. Not in anything, you know, trying to... This is kind of interesting, but not trying to work something up, although there is something to be said for pressing in and persisting and, yes, confessing the Word of God, praising, worshiping God, and just persisting till you find Him. There is. Okay, what I'm just saying, you know how I'm giving some different... I've just given two different things, right? One is pressing and persisting until we find Him, you know, confessing the Word of God and being the kingdom of God advances forcefully, right? Jesus said that. But then I'm also saying, wait on the Lord. Well, these are different things. Why? Because our faith, our most holy faith, is everything to us. Everything. You understand? He is our everything, okay? And so there's, you know, he's our first and last, beginning and end, middle, up, down, why, everything. He's our everything that we can't put it into words. So there are different strategies, but of finding him. But if there's one main one, of course, it's seek the Lord. You shall seek me, you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with everything you have, and your neighbor as yourself. Bonnke did talk also, I heard him, I know at least one time specifically, he was very emphasized that we need to be delivered from ourselves and break free from our old cliches and nature and move into something new that God wants to do. God is doing something new and wonderful all the time, today. You know, he's in the now. He forgets our past. Praise God forever for that. You know, what a glorious, there's an example of his, of how wonderful the gospel is. He wants to do a new thing. Amen. And the Holy Spirit can do that. He's God Almighty. He's Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist said, one thing I've asked of this will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty, the majesty of the Lord. And you know, in the same way that he's our everything, every aspect of God Almighty is so wonderful and glorious and beyond comprehension that we can never, you know, we can never express it. It's like infinity on the positive side, whereas those who say no to him and who say no to Jesus Christ, it's the opposite for them. It's infinitely on the negative side. So I want to touch on this, okay? It's a privilege to share these things. It may not be our favorite thing to hear, but heaven, so wonderful and glorious, cannot be put into human words because it's filled with the presence of God, the presence of Jesus Christ, the glory of God. Filled with the glory of God. Those who make it to heaven will be in his glory forever, completely fulfilled, just beyond comprehension, like forever. Forever. They will have, the Holy Spirit will be, Jesus said, that he may abide with you forever. All someone has to do is say yes to God, yes to Jesus Christ, and just continue on with him. Amen. Okay. But the other side, infinitely on the negative, so horrible, we can't comprehend it. To be in the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels forever. Completely in, like, it's a lake, okay? The Bible is so literal. It's a lake and it's fire. In fact, it's fire and brimstone and burning sulfur, which is like a liquid fire. So you're in it submerged. Somebody is in it, completely submerged, and that fire burns their body forever. You know that on the earth, when there's a fire, we don't want to touch it, of course. We don't even want to get, you know, fire can be good, but you know, you don't touch it. You don't. I'm thinking of once, you know, at an event, there was a bonfire. A little spark went and touched someone, and it was very painful. Painful. Can you imagine? In hell, their people's senses are much stronger in hell forever. Much stronger than on earth. All five senses, and they'll be... I mean, it's just, you can't comprehend this. Like, so, one of the... Okay, moving on, that's something Jesus spoke about that. Okay? And so, but moving on from that, one of the things our ministry is doing is presenting, wanting to present to people how, you know, this glorious gospel, so wonderful and so simple, but also how God has justified himself to the whole world fully and completely, to the point that, and this is brilliant, Paul wrote this in Romans 1:20, man's without an excuse. I mean, I don't want to sound harsh, but they're so without excuse, like it's abundantly clear, indisputable proof that they are without an excuse if they say no to the only true God, to Jesus Christ. You understand that this is dealing with probably the biggest objection that people have. You know, to think that most people don't get saved, most people are not saved, they don't want anything to do with the gospel, they don't want, and they admit, and it gets worse than that, right? We're talking 70% or more. This is a scary thing to think about. 70% or more of people on the earth are not saved now, but let's believe, let's take a break right now. Lord, we believe for revival to continue around the world. In our nations, in the nation I'm in, the USA, I believe with that person where they are, for revival to continue to occur where they are, in their country, in their city, their region. Revival. And we believe, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to move. We pray and ask and believe that you will send out laborers into the harvest with the anointing, which is the only way people can be saved, so that people will be saved and miss hell. Amen. And find the glorious, wonderful gospel, what humans were intended to do. To know God. Boom. That's the chief end of man. And that they'll make it to heaven. Amen. So, and we also pray that you'll continue to work in your awesome ways in churches and in the fivefold ministries, apostle, prophet, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to build up the body of Christ and keep people saved and continue. Amen. Okay, back to what I was saying. To think that, so most people don't get saved. All right, and one of the big objections is hell. That's maybe the biggest. That's maybe their big argument. And we know what they say. I'm not even going to repeat it. But they just object to God because there's this hell. Okay, but God has justified himself to the world. For those who hear the gospel, they've heard the indisputable proof of God's love for the world and that he wants to save them, is that he sent his only son to the earth to die. He's given his son to the world. He's given himself in totality to the world and to every person. Okay? Then also, similarly, very similarly actually, he's given every person the totality of all that they are. You know, this is almost, it's so abundantly clear and obvious. God himself is so abundantly clear and apparent and obvious to every person on the earth, that it's almost, I'm almost thinking that it's a given, that we don't even have to defend it or present it because it's so clear, even to those who never hear the gospel. Like, it's that it's so clear that there's a higher power, okay, who's responsible, who's given every individual person, think about that, every individual person the totality of all that they are, of all that they have ever been, all that they are, and all that they will ever be. The totality. If he withdrew his hand for 1 second, they would die. For 1 second. In fact, every person on the earth would die. If he created them from the moment they were conceived until their final breath, he sustains them, keeps them alive, gives them every good thing and everything that they have. In fact, even the bad things that they choose to get, God didn't create those, but he gave them the choice. And I'll finish up with that. That's the central thing for every person. God's given them the choice between God and self. If you boil it down, someone's 90 years on the earth, someone makes probably so many decisions that we can't even calculate it. You understand? Like, billions upon billions of decisions that someone makes in their life, probably. Okay, God gave them choice. He created them in his image and gave them choice. And infinitely more. You understand? He gave them a soul that's made in his image. Their soul is priceless, worth more than the world and everything in it, and is eternal. Their soul. Simply, well, because, and it's an eternal mystery, because God made them in his image. God is so powerful and awesome and beyond human words that the things he creates, well, we can safely say, we know from Scripture, when he creates a human being, they're in his image and they're eternal. Every angel that he created is filled and covered and made from his glory and is eternal. Will exist forever because God's eternal. He is eternity. He is life. He is existence. He is love. He is our everything. Here's something fascinating. Even for unbelievers, God is their everything. They just don't realize it. And they don't receive it. They don't choose to receive that, to receive him. And again, it comes down, isn't that fascinating? He is their everything. Main in the natural and in the spiritual things that they receive. They have a spirit person that's actually dead, not alive, but their spirit, they still, most all those people, in fact, probably every unbeliever, they do receive spiritual things like love and hope and goodness and some choose evil. Some choose hate. That's a spiritual thing. The enemy is the originator of hate. Okay? But back to what I was saying, this is truly fascinating that someone makes, you know, millions upon millions, probably billions of choices in their life. I mean, really, every day we're making choices all the time. I mean, about everything. I mean, who we're going to spend time with, who we, you know, what we do about this and what we were to always, okay. And so, but that 90 years or 50 years or 30 years that someone lives, there's one choice that's the absolute most important, the choice between God and self. That one choice, it determines their eternal destiny. And again, it's not just one choice, because when we know Him, it's a choice every day. It's a privilege every day and a choice every day. So it's both. Remember, the gospel is everything to us. It's a one-time decision. It's a daily decision. It's an eternal, glorious decision. It's a wonderful privilege, not just a decision. It's just the greatest thing ever. And to think that 70% or whatever percentage it is choose self instead of God. It's our old nature, sin, the world, and the enemy. Keep people from that. But thank you for listening. I know I kind of expressed some things that are different today, but so glorious. Jesus offers Himself to every person on the earth. Amen.